Morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. A few empty seats. I know there's a group out at camp, and we just pray that God will be with them this morning as they worship together with different people from the different communities around our area. But it's good to be here this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Beautiful day outside. And I know for some families, this is the last weekend that they have off. Kids are back to school this week, and so it's, again, changing season, changing times, lifestyles are going to be also changing. But this morning, let's just look into God's Word, and we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. A number of years ago, I was out of work, and at the time, mushrooms were worth $100 to $150 a pound, the pine mushrooms, so we spent a lot of time in the bush. Searching out, looking for that gold rush. And I know for myself, we were in a lot of areas that we were unfamiliar with, so I took a compass with me. Always had a compass that I relied on. I knew at times, not right off the bat. I remember when first learning with a compass, didn't feel I could really trust it. But after a while, you learn to trust that compass to get me back to my truck again. And so one day, we were coming back out of the Nass, and we stopped along Calum Lake Road. We thought, well, hey, let's just have a look in the bush over here. It's still early in the day. And I remember walking into the bush, and about, 20, 30 feet inside the bush, something caught my eye. And on the ground was this copper-colored compass, really nice-looking compass, nicely engraved. It had a little sight that you could pop up, see your direction where you're going, look at your next waypoint. And I thought, oh, that's a good find. Threw it in my pocket, and away we went. On the way out, we stopped on the road there, and it was showing everybody else my compass that I had found in the bush. And the road apart that road I was standing on, I knew that the road ran north and south. And so when I was looking at this compass, I realized, north is across Calum Lake somewhere. And so I learned very quickly, shook it, turned it both ways, tried to find out if there's a way to adjust this, but there's no way to adjust this. I learned that that compass was probably out 20 to 30 degrees from what it should be. And so what happens is we learn to rely on things that guide us. And I had a compass, a good one that I knew I could rely on, that it would always get me home, it would always get me to where I was going. And the question this morning is, who do we rely on to guide us through life? Our job, our career, our schooling, where we're going to live, who we're going to live with, who we're going to marry. Who do we rely on to guide us? Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 6. Solomon wrote, and the book of Proverbs is basically a book that has a lot to do with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Solomon wrote it, and in this part, he was giving instructions to his son where to look for knowledge, where to look for wisdom, where to look for guidance through his life. And in verse 1, he says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and in man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Trust, according to the dictionary, is a reliance on integrity, on strength and ability and surety of a person or a thing. The verse instructs us to put all our trust into God, not into our own knowledge. We are not to be reliant on ourselves and what we know and what is going to get us through. Those instructions are true when it comes to probably the largest decision or issue that you'll ever make in your life, and that is salvation. God gave us a book, our Bible, to teach us how to walk in wisdom, how to conduct and to regulate our lives. It helps us to conform to living our lives the way that God would have us to live, under God's character and his standards. Proverbs, like all of Scripture, is God's guide for us to live as disciples for him. Solomon presents three positions, or three conditions here in finding God's perfect will for each one of our lives. First of all, the first condition, he says, you must trust in the Lord. God has a permissive will that we all become Christians or that we all become have a relationship with Him. It's not a decree. It's a relationship that we have with God. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says clearly, "The Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance." This is what God desires from each one of us. It's not a degree. If it was a degree, God, it would be universalism, where the system of religious belief is that all people will be predestined to salvation. But that's not the case. Trusting absolutely the first step in knowing God. You must trust God as your Savior to have a relationship with Him. You cannot attempt to know God's will or in any areas beyond that until this issue is settled. And most of us here today are Christians. We know what it is to serve God and to love God, to have a relationship with God, and to understand God's word. To someone that is not a Christian, Christianity doesn't make a lot of sense. God doesn't make a lot of sense. The questions keep coming. Why would you believe that? Why would, if there was a God, why would He allow murder? If there was a God, why would people go to hell? But it's not until we have that relationship with God that we begin to understand what is happening and what God has for us and what God wants for us. The word trust implies both a decision to trust in God, but also a commitment to continue to serve, getting into a habit of trusting God. Simply put, trusting God isn't a simple decision that we just made in our head that one day we're going to trust God and we go on living our life the way we were. It's a first step in becoming and having a relationship with God. And then we make a commitment to follow Him in the life that He has set out before us. This means that throughout our daily life, every aspect of our life, everything that happens within our life, we take that time to actively place our trust in God. And it's not an instant process, just like the compass. It wasn't an instant process the first time I picked it up and said, oh yeah, that's the way I need to go. I remember standing in a bush and looking at it and thinking, no, I came from over there. That's where I need to go. But my compass is telling me, no, you need to go that way. And it's not until you use it over and over again that you begin to trust that. And it's the same with our relationship with God. The more we put our trust in Him, the more we ask of Him, the more we seek Him, the more we find that we'll have a relationship that we can and do begin to trust God more. We make a commitment to follow Him through our daily life. The word heart here, it also describes to the extent which we are to trust God. This is our soul being, our inner being. In other words, trusting with God, everything that we have, everything that we do, and everywhere that we go with no exceptions. We need to first put our trust in God, have that relationship with God. Then and only then can we find what God's perfect will is for our life or where we should be. Second condition, it says, lean not into thine own understanding. We must be first saved, and then we need to begin to lean on God for all everything else in our life. Romans 12:1-2, Paul says a very similar thing. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." The question is it possible to be saved but not to surrender? Is it possible to be saved and not surrender? Matthew 6:34 talks about worry. It says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its own worries and its own things." In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is telling us that when we lean on our own understanding instead of His, we start self-inducing unnecessary worries on our own life. We need to get ourselves off our eyes, off ourselves, off where we're at, and put them on God. Let's go back to, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, the one tree in the garden that people were, or that Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat, was from the tree of knowledge of good, of knowing good and evil. It wasn't of life, but it was a knowledge of knowing good and evil. Our own understanding simply will not bear the full weight of reality. God alone is the only one that can bear that full weight. We were never intended to. The point of the prohibition that took place was not to keep humans ignorant, but to preserve the pleasures of this world for them. You see, in order to handle the knowledge of good and evil, one must possess the ability to completely comprehend all possible options and contingencies. Omniscience. God is the only one that is omniscient. We don't know all things. Nobody does. Only God. The righteousness and wisdom to choose the right course and power to make reality conform to that right course. Omnipotence. God's the only one that is all powerful. He is the only one that can. What this means is not the one who trusts in the Lord is irrational, but the one who leans on his own understanding. It's insane for us to be able to lean on our own understanding and figure that we've got it all figured out. A number of years ago, while we were picking mushrooms, we had the group home at this point. We decided that it was a good idea to take a bunch of the guys out mushroom picking. So we thought it was late in the season, so we thought we'd head up to Brown Bear Forestry Road. So it was up by Ellsworth Camp there. So we took off, I think four guys, probably had a staff member with me. Back then, we should have been posting everything with the government where we were taking these kids, but we missed a few spots. So anyways, we headed up to Brown Bear Forestry Road, headed down it, found a road off to the left, took us into a logging clear cut, went to the end of the clear cut, got out, got ready to go, and all of a sudden at that moment I realized I don't have my compass. So what do we do? Do we go home or do we try and work this out? So in my great wisdom, I thought, hey, here's a great idea. The sun was shining. I got in front of the truck, and it was about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. The sun was on my left. I figured by around 2 o'clock, about the time probably we'd probably start heading home, the sun should be on my right. So when I leave the bush, if I look and I follow the sun, how can you go wrong? So in my great wisdom, we went picking. Excuse me. We went, we went picking, and first half hour we filled all our buckets. A lot of them were number fours, so we thought, well, let's keep picking. We've got lots of time, and we'll slowly weed them out as we get the better ones, and sure enough, we got most of the fours weeded out by the time 2 o'clock rolled around. Time to go home. What was my plan? Turn around, find the sun, head that way. Well, I should have known that if you live in the north, if you don't like the weather, wait half an hour. And now what do you do? And so anyways, I liken this unto our life with God. We have a great plan. We know what's ahead. We know what's happening. We know where we're at. But we don't know all the future. We don't know what's taking place. We can only act on the information that we have. And also, I think so often we do things, we hire guides. I remember... I got family at the back waving at me. Sort of threw me off there a bit. Way back. But sorry. But we hire guides at time. Jeez. To take us places and do things. A guide is usually somebody that's well-versed with what they're doing. And one of the instances that I remember was we rented a yellow boat one time out of Rupert. Excuse me. And they're pretty well versed. They've been doing it for years. They know where the whales are. They know where they're feeding. They know what season they're at. They know where you could find them. They take you into Kitsmatine, see the grizzly bears, on and on and on. They have this all well planned out. And so they're a well-known guide that you could go, and actually they'll be able to take you and actually show you some of the wildlife. One day we were out fishing off of Port Simpson, and all of a sudden we heard a bunch of gunshots. And we're looking around trying to figure this out, and we realize there's an island out in front of Port Simpson there that is predominantly, just about year-round, you could find seals or sea lions on that rock. And here some of the members from Port Simpson were out harvesting some of the sea lions. And so they did their work and left, and no more than half an hour later, the yellow boat shows up. And it slows down and slowly cruises around that island looking for sea lions. Of course, there was none there. And now, my evil side, the first thought that came to mind is, whoo, those tourists should have been here half hour ago, and they would have seen what real life is about. I know it's a bad thought, but anyways. But we look to guides. Thank you. We look to guides in this world for many things, whether it be our financial, whether it be marriage, whether it be our job, whether it be our career, whatever it is, our education. And we need those. We need to be looking for those. But ultimately, our guide is God for finding His will in our life. We need to be seeking Him also. We can make all kinds of plans on our own. Most of them work out. People all through life have been successful in different things and have found success in what they did. But the question is that what God has willed for me? Is that what God wants for me? Is that the best that I could do? Or is there more to life than having the things that we want or the material that we want or the career that we want? Is there more to life when we can follow God's will and find out what His will is for my life? Man has incredible knowledge, capabilities. You can get a new heart. 100 years ago, you were cranking an old Ford to get it going. Now you have cars that drive themselves. Man's advancement has been incredible with what they can do, with our bodies and how they can heal us and create things. But beware of arrogance. Beware of that, hey, this is what I've done. This is where I've come to. Look at me. This is where I'm at. I could do it. I don't need anybody else. It almost creates a God mentality. I think of different things throughout history. The Titanic, I believe they said when it was built, this is an unsinkable ship. With all the technology that they had and all the things that they had, they figured that this ship was so far advanced that it could not be sunk. First voyage, it sunk. The Beatles, I think, at one point said, hey, we're more popular than God. And that was sort of almost their big controversy at the time, sort of really brought down their status level in America. So beware. Yes, we need to seek wisdom. We need to seek knowledge. We need to be confident in what we do and what we have, and we need to be confident in where we're at. But keep in mind that it's all a gift from God. God gave us that wisdom. And God will continue to give us wisdom. But keep in mind that it's God's. We're just a vessel that God has given it to. Lean on God, not on our own self. Third condition, he says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In addition to being saved and surrendering, we must learn God's will. We must learn God's word. Where do we do that? But through God's word. Throughout Scripture, there are commands through the whole Bible about how we should be living, how we should be treating others, how we should be looking after our society, how we should be looking after this world, how we should be treating our neighbors. And these are all what I'll call traffic signs, 35, speed limits 35. We all are familiar with those. But there, for example, there's different verses in Scripture. Here's one of them in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. He said, this is the will of God, that you should abstain from fornication. Straightforward, no ifs, ands, and buts. But so our Scripture's full of that. The Ten Commandments are there that were for us to follow. When I was praying about getting married, couldn't find anything in Scripture. Saying who my wife was going to be, where I was going to be at. I heard no booming voice from heaven saying that's the person you should marry. But we felt at the time, as we prayed about whether we should be married, we felt right in our hearts at the time. And this last week, we just celebrated our 39th anniversary. Actually, we didn't celebrate it, but we passed it. But anyways... But to this day, I can still say it. Colleen is my best friend. Love of my life. And we used to always talk about growing old together. Scary thought is we're there. but it's great. She's still my best friend. Love my wife. Love my kids. Love my grandkids. Just love our families. And I... thank God regularly that I was able to pray and ask if she was the one. And like I say, no woman voice, just felt confident that God was leading me in that direction. I thank God for answering that prayer. Last week, Pastor Brad spoke on listening to God. And this is where it's important to develop that relationship with God and to learn to hear God's voice and to trust in His voice, utmost importance. If we could learn to hear that voice, If we can fulfill these three conditions, Solomon said, part of the verse is, so we submit to him, and he will make your path straight. God will always lead you. God will always guide you. God will always direct you. God will always be part of your life. Even after placing our trust in God, and I'm no different than any one of you, we're tempted so often just to lean on our own, to go about life as life is normal, and not taking the time to just stop and talk to God. We need to do that every single day. Not to lean on our own understanding, not to be overconfident in ourselves, but to be confident in what God is leading us to do. And don't get me wrong here, we need to be super confident in the talents and abilities that God has given us. God has placed you in a spot, whether it's in your job, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in your home, whether it's in the community somewhere. God has given you some incredible talents, and we need to use that. We need to be super confident in that. But never take your eyes off the fact that those were a gift from God to you. The concept of trusting and leaning on God, the meanings are very similar, but they differ. Trust means to put yourself wholly into the mercy of another, whereas leaning simply isn't reclining against, but it's relying on something or somebody for support to stay upright. Many people, Christians alike, lean on their own understanding and wisdom. They declare to trust in God, but don't spend that time asking God where they are, where they should be, what they should be doing. We're called to give everything to God. Not just some of the stuff, but our entire heart. Rather than looking at this world and the wisdom that it offers. Some tangible thoughts just in closing. First of all, we need to give our worries to God. 1 Peter 5:7, we're told to cast all our anxieties on God because he cares for you. What an incredible promise that is there for us if we could just learn to cast all our cares every day. At the end of the day, when you stop at the day, Lord, look at your day and say, hey, these are the things that happened. Give me direction. Give me peace with what's going on. Give me peace for tomorrow. Ask for a peaceful sleep. Get the rest you need. Whatever something comes up that you're worried about, give it to God. Put your trust in him. Let him prove to you that he is there and with you every day. Connect with God regularly. Spend time in his word. Without it, we're unsure of where we should be going or what we should be doing. To build trust, you need to connect with God regularly. Second, follow God's wisdom. The world around us is constantly bombarding us with information. Information comes so quick now. Within seconds of what's happening somewhere else in the world, it shows up on your phone. Take time to, maybe at times, shut that off. Just spend time in God's word and see what God has said. His word is as viable today as it was ever. Followers of Jesus should always trust. Even when it doesn't make sense, we need to trust in God. Also live in the community. We're here today together. Great place to be. Life is hard. Reality is sometimes hard. But we need each other. We weren't meant to live alone. And there's times in our lives where we follow, and following Jesus, sometimes it seems impossible. In those times, we need others to be with us, to encourage us, to strengthen us up. And also wait. Just wait upon the Lord. This is a wish that I wish this part wasn't there. Sometimes I'm usually very patient, but to get older, I'm finding that I have less and less patience. Want it to happen right now. But I've learned there's a purpose in the process. God is teaching us through those times. So let me encourage you just to wait and wait. Wait for the Lord's voice. If you don't hear it, continue to ask. Psalms 84:12 says, and the Bible says that one who trusts in the Lord is blessed. And Psalms 48:14 said, for this is the will of God, forever and ever, he will be our guide, even to the end. We need to learn and trust on God. So music ministry team comes back up. I'm just going to share another story with you. Last month, we were in Mexico. The mangoes and the pineapple were incredible. The beach was warm. The water was warm, you could just sit out there. It was like a bathtub, a little warmer than a bathtub. But it was just incredible. Oh, sorry, wrong story. Let me go back. Okay. We were in Puerto Vallarta, actually just across the river in Newville, and our resort was on. In behind our resort was a marina, and so there was boats coming and going all the time. And because it's just miles and miles of beach there, they had built weirs out into the ocean, rock walls basically, probably for 200-300 feet, maybe a little more. And so we thought, well, let's walk out on that. And so we came to it the first time. We turned around and left, but we went back later. When we got there, there's a sign on there, and my limited Spanish, no Spanish, could have used some people. From what I could understand, it was a no trespassing thing. It was a government wharf and our government property and a few other things on there. And it was barricaded. You could get around that barricade. So anyways, there's a few people out there. So we went out there. We just thought, well, let's go. If we get in trouble, our story is we don't speak Spanish. But in all truthfulness, there was lots of people moving up and back and forth on this weir. So we walked out there, and at the end of the weir, what they do is they have, for the marine boats, they had lights, red on one side, green on the other, so that when they're coming into port, they could see the lights. They know where the marine is. They know where they need to go. And in front of that, they had a hut built, and it was built out of concrete, and it was just like a big round hut, maybe 15, 20 feet across, and it was like a bench on it, and you could actually sit out there. They had a palm tree covered hut roof on it that was half missing because it hadn't been taken care of. It's sort of really run down. But in the middle of that, when I walked up, there was a spear in the middle, a cylinder type post, and I could see as I was coming up to it, had a plaque on it. And I thought, this plaque is probably a compass with maybe Mexico and break underneath it or whatever, just for the boats and stuff. And to my surprise, it wasn't. It was actually a plaque of the Ten Commandments. And so my thought is that, first of all, it'd be before the mariners coming in. But here now, this was plaque, and the stranger part of the whole thing, too, it was written in English. Very little things are written in English in Mexico. And so here's this plaque with the Ten Commandments. And I thought, God is so good. Here's his guide to people, to guide them through life, to give them direction and to help them. And I thought, you know, what an opportunity. How many people come by and how many people actually see that plaque and are able to read it? God is good. We just have to learn as people to learn to trust in him. We have to be able to hear his voice and to be able to follow what God has called us to do. My encouragement to you this morning is look into God's word. Find what God's will is for your life. Seek it out and follow that. God will provide everything else in life for you. We're not to worry about those things. God will provide a career, a companion. God will provide a home. God will provide a place for you. God will provide food for you. Let us learn as Christians what it is to follow Christ and to follow his will, his perfect will in our life. Amen.